Many chief human capital officers say they're having trouble adjusting to the new requirements of the Pathways internship program. That's according to a survey the Partnership for Public Service and Grant Thornton did. Tim McManus is vice president for education and outreach at the partnership and says agencies can make their programs more valuable to managers and their interns with 15 best practices. Tim, I thank you for pointing me to this list of best practices, and I think it's particularly valuable because it comes from outside government, and it's not that if it came from inside government, it wouldn't be worth anything, but I think it's terrific to step back every once in a while and just get a sense for how somebody else is doing it, how some different organization or different group of operators is doing something. Where did this list of 15 best practices for internship come from, Tim?
So it's actually from the National Association of Colleges and Employers, which is a national group of just that. So it represents really career services, career development practitioners across a lot of higher education institutions, as well as employers, private sector, nonprofit sector, and government employers as well. So really comes from both sides of the equation as well, both what colleges and universities know that their students want as a result of internships, but also what employers are actually providing.
Now, we obviously don't have time to talk about all 15. I'm going to link to this at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later today so folks can check it out on their own. And I encourage people to do that who deal with the internship issue across government. But there are a couple of these I wanted to point out that I thought were striking or followed up on conversations that you and I have had before. And the first one is the first one. Provide interns with real work assignments. But there's a note here. The best practices presented here assume the organization's goal is to convert interns to full-time hires and is therefore paying its interns. That doesn't apply across the board anymore. And there's some debate about whether the government should be in that business at all.
Yeah, so Francis, I think you know all of these actually really do hinge on that piece. In my estimation, whether you're using paid interns or volunteer interns, and you can argue benefits of both. Clearly, one of the greatest advantages to the Pathways programs is that if you bring them in as a paid intern under the Pathways programs, it's much easier to convert them to full-time employment. But you can actually use some of their volunteer intern hours for conversion as well. But I think that note is particularly important, regardless of how bringing them in is we all need to be viewing, whether we're in the private sector or government sector, we need to be viewing interns as potential new employees, not just what we hear a lot of times, an extra set of hands. So that's actually the key to all of this. And then I think, you know, you aptly pointed out best practice number one as well, provide them with real work assignments. That's something, again, that really does benefit both you and them, is providing them that meaningful work. That's actually going to give you a real opportunity to figure out whether or not they've got what it takes to actually perform in your agency longer term beyond just a short term as an intern. And frankly, it's going to give them the ability to connect and the ability to figure out whether or not you're a place that long term they really want to be.
The second one is hold orientations for everybody involved. We've talked about onboarding on a number of occasions and in a number of different contexts. The third best practice, provide interns with a handbook or a website. The fourth one, I'm not sure I could see really ever happening in a federal environment, provide housing and relocation assistance. Does that work now, and could it work in the future?
Yeah, so I think agencies need to look at that in the broadest context. So you may not be able to actually provide housing, and you may not actually provide you know, financial housing, financial reimbursement or a stipend for housing and or relocation assistance in terms of financial assistance. But if you look at it more broadly, Francis, and you say we need to provide housing and relocation assistance, that may be as simple as, you know what, D.C. housing in D.C. is really not inexpensive. It's expensive to live here. It's expensive to live here in the summer. What are some places that you can actually provide tips for how they make the most of their dollar while they're actually staying here in D.C. And get them to think about contacting local universities. Get them to think about contacting alumni who may be in the area. Again, that's not the financial assistance, but you're actually helping that dollar that they're making or their volunteer experience that they're doing here go a little bit further because you've actually eliminated one of those barriers or helped to eliminate one of those barriers.
And it actually makes sense in the context of number 7 that we'll get to in just a moment. Best practice number 5, offer scholarships. Best practice 6, offer flex time and or other unusual work arrangements. And then number 7, have an intern manager. If you have somebody whose responsibility this really is, it strikes me that you would have a lot more latitude and flexibility and opportunity for being creative.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I'd add, in addition to the intern manager as well, so you've got somebody overseeing the entire cohort. And I think that's actually part of the experience of being an intern as well, is you don't just come in and report to your own supervisor and your own manager about the work that you're doing on a day-to-day basis. But one of the things that intern manager is able to do is convene and bring together the interns across the agency as well and give them some cross-cutting experiences, maybe even on the social side of things as well, that helps them to get acclimated again to the agency and to what may be a new area that they're living.
Best practice number 8 is encouraging team involvement. That's an issue we've taken on before. Number 9, invite career center staff and faculty to visit interns on site. Number 10 is to hold new hire panels. What would these look like, Tim?
So, you know, bring together some of the folks that you've just recently hired into the agency. And oftentimes we say, well, we maybe didn't hire all that many young people, so therefore we can't do this. Bring together any of your new hires. What is it that attracted them to and do a panel conversation? What is it that attracted you to this agency? What have you found, to be your most rewarding experience in your first, 6 months on the job? To get them to actually share what their experience was like making the transition into the agency. Again, it gives a real-life preview of what these interns might expect if they, in fact, come to work full-time for your agency.
Now, number 11 is probably my favorite one on the whole list. Bring in speakers from your company's executive ranks. If you translate that to agencies, wow, what a powerful opportunity for the people who are just coming in to see what's possible for them if they decide to spend a career wherever they are.
Yeah, not just what's possible as well, but I think one of the great things that sometimes senior leadership can do as well is kind of create the vision for not just what your day-to-day work is, but the vision for where the agency is going and the broader opportunities down the road. And I think that's really, really valuable, particularly for young people looking at internships as a way to get full-time employment.
Number 12 is to offer training and encourage outside classes. Number 13, conduct focus groups and surveys. Number 14 is really dependent on best practice number 1, showcasing intern work through presentations and expo. Number 1 was providing them with real work assignments. If they're not doing real work, those presentations or that expo is going to be kind of embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Number 15 is to conduct exit interviews, and that ties in with something that you and I have talked about before, too, and that is gather as much information as you can about the people who have gone through a particular program, whether it's Pathways or something else, so that you can apply that to the people that come through in the future. Right, Tim?
Yeah, and I'd take that last one step further as well. Is don't just have the conversation on the back end. Have the conversation throughout the entire course of their internship. Again, just like a normal supervisor would have with any full-time employee. What's working? What's not working? What's good? What's the good? What's the bad? What's the ugly? What attracted you to this internship? So that from day one, you're kind of beginning to learn from this set of interns, so you can use that information to build and improve upon your internships in the future.